Working from home?
Or back in the office?
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, thank you, Danny, Jeff, JR, Hoodie, and I back Monday morning at 7 a.m. Crosstalk brought to you by the Hawthorne Racecourse. Get in on a Kentucky Derby action. Download the Club Hawthorne app. Watch, wager from anywhere. Details at HawthorneRacecourse.com. And Merkin, you're better than that.
What'd he do?
He wrote some BS up there on the screen thinking I would read it. Not going to fall for his stuff.
You got to put the question mark, though, Merk. You need the question mark.
He doesn't know how to pull off a joke. He's the wet blanket of comedy.
It does need the question mark. It kind of falls a little flat otherwise.
You're better than that, Merkin.
Way flat.
Merkin was at it again yesterday. He said Justin Rose can take a knee. I'm not so sure.
Oh, nobody.
Well, that's a classic Merkin move. You don't know that?
It's time for another premature award presentation by Randy Merkin.
Oh my God.
Oh, Merk. Careful, Merk.
Oh my God. Oh.
You'll blow your
The occasional Merkin.
Randy Merkin's premature award presentation brought to you by nobody.
We call it premature merculation.
That's right.
Oh, he says it's over.
He said Justin Rose can take a knee, and I said, I'll bet you 500. And then he gets real quiet.
Right. Then he all of a sudden, like a church mouse quiet.
I'll bet you $5.
Four outs. Not four innings. 4 outs into Lucas Giolito's first start in Anaheim, he said, he's throwing a no-no. They're not touching him. I said, I'll bet you $500. Nothing. Crickets.
Right.
He'll make these proclamations.
You can't go from zero to 100. And you know,
that's exactly what you're doing. There's 4 outs in the game, and you're declaring that the Angels won't touch him. Justin Rose has 3 more rounds to play, and you're declaring he can take a knee. You're doing that. That's why I'm doing it. I'll bet you $500. You want some?
On Justin Rose?
You want some?
No, I don't want some.
How's he playing today? How's Justin playing today?
One over.
Well, that's not good.
Wiesberger is 6 under now.
How about
Wiesberger?
Yeah, a buddy of mine the other day said to me, oh, Baylor wins by 15. I said, okay, I'll take Gonzaga plus 15 for 1,000. And he went, no. He goes, the line is what? I'll just make it a pick'em. I'm like,
Make it a pick'em?
He goes, Baylor's not even favored. I said, you just said they're going to win by 15. I'll take them by 15 points. I'll take
Gonzaga. Now, Baylor did win by 15.
They did. He wouldn't make the bet. I called him.
You should have made that bet.
Hey, idiot, you should have made the bet.
See, he should have stuck with his
conviction. You run your mouth and you got no confidence in it.
Classic.
That's Merk.
I love it.
Every blue moon, you'll get one of those wagers and you say, well, I'll give you 6. He goes, well, my bookie will give me 7.5. Go bet your bookie.
Go to your bookie.
Go bet with him. You bet with me. You want to bet with your bookie? Go bet with him.
Yeah, Justin Rose is 1 over for the day. He's 2 shots clear of Bernd Wiesberger.
Who is
6 under for the day.
Wiesberger. Wiesberger didn't shoot in the 60s yesterday, though, did he?
74.
Yeah.
74, too. It looks like the cut's going to be 4 over.
Wow.
4 over for the cut.
Wow.
Remember, top 40 in ties.
Yeah, right
top
now, it's 3, but you're right. It'll go up.
Sure, it will. Absolutely.
Boy, it played tough yesterday,
because if you took a look, there are a lot of 74 shot yesterday. There's a slew of them.
Why did it play so hard yesterday? Just hard? Course is hard?
The wind was really bad
the
in the afternoon.
And the course is dry?
Yeah. Can I give you a really interesting stat? This is from that guy I told you to follow, Carm, Justin Ray.
Yep.
He's great on Twitter.
Yeah, 14 of the last 15 champions were within 4 strokes of the lead after round 2.
14 of the last 15 were within 4 strokes
four
of the lead.
4 strokes.
So after round 2.
Well, that means there's
after round 2.
After round 2.
So today it'll be a telltale thing maybe going into the weekend. Let's see who's within striking distance.
But I don't think we've ever seen the course set up as hard as this one is. Because I was reading an article, they said some of the guys on the board of directors down there were embarrassed in November that he got to 20, Fred Ridley and them, that he was 20 on there.
That's not our course.
That's not who we are.
Like the USGA.
Screw that.
Yeah.
And they said,
the hardest way to 15 rounds with Holyfield is the greens.
The greens,
of course. You put those greens at a certain speed and they're rock hard, now you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. And Jordan Spieth's eagle on 15 was heading for the drink until the hole got in the way.
Correct. Lucky. Sometimes you need a little luck.
Nothing wrong with luck.
You got to be good and lucky.
That's right. It's better to be lucky than good sometimes.
Who said that, Merk, that they felt like they went 15 rounds with Holyfield? Was that
Rory? DJ?
DJ?
I don't remember. I did see that quote.
Somebody said it. I don't know who, but
Whoa, hey. I got Masters Live on right now.
And put it on. That's all right.
Well, I didn't have the mute button on. Mm. I put the mute button on. I'll take a look. He is putting for birdie on 6. I can't do play-by-play. And I won't do play-by-play.
You had some big names blow up yesterday, though. I'll tell you that.
Well,
Cantlay was terrible.
Oh, 79 for Patrick Cantlay. I'm almost glad I accidentally set Brooks Koepka with my first pick yesterday.
It was Sergio.
Sergio said.
He said, I fought hard. I feel like I just came out of the ring with Evander Holyfield like a 12-round match. I need to go home and rest. He shot 75. I love it.
Good for Sergio with a nice colloquial reference. That was good.
Very good.
Very good by Sergio.
That's it. So,
by the way, I just saw Aaron Rodgers up on. I saw Aaron Rodgers. What are you laughing?
Sorry.
What's he laughing?
Justin Rose was putting up on 6, and the ball's basically coming back to his feet again.
Boy, it's tough, man.
They messing around, man.
They really did set it up tough.
Oh, I'm cackling right now. Oh, sweet heavens. Do you know why? I was just at Pinehurst. You know how many times that happened to Johnny Handsome out there?
Sure.
Beyond the point of being ridiculous, I felt like John Daly. I wanted to walk off the 8th hole at Pinehurst number 2.
Jeez.
Because I went up and it came back down to me and I said, hello, how are you, my friend? I had a buddy 6-putt out there.
Aye, aye, aye.
6 putts was at the front of the green, putted off. It went down the right edge, went all the way off. And then so that was his 3rd shot. 4 up, 5.
It's like mini golf or something, right?
6, he drove across to the other side. And then he was in jeopardy of putting off again. It's almost comical at times. Yeah,
it's like putting on the hood of your car.
Yeah,
like
it's kicking there, you know what. Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I love seeing him struggle. I like the pain. And the ones that can overcome it, good for them.
I love the fact
they can do that, too.
I guess I want my cake and I want to eat it, too, York, because I kind of like it when there's a balance. I would like to see guys make birdies. I mean, I know what you're saying.
You're right.
But, you know, they are the best of the best, and I still want to see birdie opportunities, and I like to see them make some birdies here and there.
Pull the shots off, and I like it, you know, when it's a double-edged sword, and you're on the precipice of disaster all the time. Spieth makes the eagle.
Right.
But it could have been a disastrous shot, but it wasn't.
Right.
The great golfers find a way to make hay.
Did Bryson DeChambeau make some comment that the Masters is basically a par 67 for him?
Last year.
Okay.
Par 68. Okay. He said, I view this course as a par 68.
Because everyone on Twitter yesterday was taking snapshots of him or screenshots of him looking for his ball and every hobby. He was misclubbing every single hole, and he was getting
know that that's the kind of course where he can do what he likes to do. Right? I mean, is that like is Augusta
bomb away?
Is Augusta the kind of place where
absolutely you can bomb, you can you know that in 13 you can make it a driver wedge.
No, I'm not saying that length isn't important. Oh. I'm saying is the course 1 through 18 really conducive for him to just say, I'll bomb it over every bit of trouble there is?
Listen,
or is the course too penal if you're not perfect?
No. You need a length on 11. You have to have length on 11. It's like 505-yard par 4. So you have to have length on 11 to be able to go ahead and attack if you want to attack pins. On 10, you want to take your shot. It's a dog leg left. Like Bristol third and fourth turn.
Right.
If you can get into that slot, it'll propel it down the hill and leave you just basically a 9-iron or a wedge into that green.
Right, right.
So there are places to go ahead and just bomb away. On 14, you need as much distance as you can get on 14.
I know distance is important, but I'm just saying,
on 15, you don't want to be too far down the fairway because you're downhill.
Yeah.
And that makes your second shot, the approach, a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
So, but once you get to 17, you need as much length as you can have. And on 18, you need as much length.
It hasn't worked for him yet. I'll just put it that way. Look, his best round, his best performance there was when he was at the low AM in 2016.
Right. Yep.
That was tied T21. He's never finished in the top 20. And he didn't play well yesterday. I'm just wondering, is that course not as conducive for
accurate,
where he's just saying, I'll bomb it anywhere I want?
Accurate length.
Accurate length, I guess.
Is important.
Look at the guys that have won there over the years. Even when they've lengthened it. Mike Weir, Zach Johnson,
Bubba.
Louis Oosthuizen. Well, Bubba hits it far.
Oosthuizen never won.
What did Oosthuizen win?
Masters?
He won a British. I'm sorry.
He lost in a playoff to Bubba Watson.
Forgive me. But he's played well there. It's like you see some of the shorter hitters that can go out and still win that tournament.
Rose just bogeyed again. It's a one-shot lead.
Wow.
He 3-jacked, kid.
Yeah. Oh, so he's down to just a one-shot lead because Wiesberger's caught him?
-5. Wiesberger is -6 for the day.
I think Wiesberger can take
-4.
A Niemer.
Keep
taking him. He's at minus six for the day.
Leishman birdied 1, 2, and 3.
Wow.
Right? And now +5 comes into play.
Oh, come on.
So I said +4 was going to be the cut because -5 right now is the leader. Plus five is in play.
Gotcha.
So yesterday when Jordan Spieth tried to hit, and he hit the big tree, and the ball went flying. Did you see that?
No.
So he hits a bad drive, drops his driver mid-swing, and is like, right, hits a provisional.
Oh, okay.
And they said, no, we found your tee shot.
Yeah.
It's in the trees. He's got from me to you open. That's it. And who was doing the color at that point?
It was Nansen Faldo.
It was Faldo. He said, you don't do this on Thursday,
Jordan.
Sunday, Jordan. You might have to take a shot. Just knock this thing back out. He tries to go through, and all of a sudden you hear the sickening sound. He hit the trunk in the middle, and it went ricocheting off.
Take your medicine, Jordan. That's as bad as the Harry Meghan Markle interview. Oh.
That's a good nick.
Jordan.
That's very good.
That's not crazy. A good nick. That's a terrible Nick Faldo.
Crazy.
I'd have to work on it a little bit.
All right, I'm out of your guys' way.
All right, see you. Have a good weekend.
All right, you guys
enjoy the Masters.
Great weekend.
Enjoy the Masters.
Carmen Yurk are next. We will see you Monday morning at 7. See you.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
And then the 0-2. Swing and a miss. Or strike three. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Got him on a fastball at 93. Count is 2-2. The pitch is a strike ball. Lance Lynn just struck out the side. The pitch, swinging a high fly ball. It's well hit to left. It's going to go. Two-run homer, Yoan Moncada. Keller's offer, Mercedes launches. Deep to left. Back in the first. The pitch liner that deflects off the glove of the pitcher and into center. Grandal scores. Here comes Madrigal. 6-0. Two-strike pitch. He struck him out swinging. 7 now for Lance Lynn. 1-2, swing and a miss. Strikeout number 8 for Lance Lynn. The pitch. He struck him out. Check swing. Benintendi slams the bat, then the helmet down. Lynn's got 10 strikeouts, and we go to the bottom of the 8th. The pitch. Swing and a miss. A complete game, 5-hitter, Lance Lynn with an absolute gem. He strikes out 11. What a performance.
Glenn Casper right here on your home for the White Sox, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Day off today, back at it tomorrow with the day game, and they face a lefty. And they make it 18-0 since the start of last year. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Carmen. It's Yurko. Welcome to everybody on Twitch, twitch.tv. I bumped into a couple people at the park last night. They said they watch us on Twitch each and every day. They love it. Twitch.tv, download the app.
I ran into a handful of guys last night from Lansing, Illinois. And said they watch Twitch all the time.
Every day.
All the time. So they call in today with some commentary. Yeah. So that Twitch thing has got some things going on.
It's got some legs.
People like to watch. Absolutely.
How about it? That's how you do opening day. Lance Lynn has 2 starts in a White Sox uniform, 13 2/3 innings.
How many earned runs?
An earned run. Zero
none?
Earned runs
no,
allowed.
No earned runs.
In 13.2 2/3 innings pitched.
Pretty good, Carmen.
He's living up to the reputation in the early going. He has been one of the American League's better pitchers the last 2 years, and that's why the White Sox went out and got him with nothing flashy, nothing fancy, nothing too overwhelming or overpowering, just good old-fashioned cunning and guile, I guess, as Hawk would say. He just knows how to pitch.
But he's got some heat. It's not just cunning and guile.
But how much
he's
is
got TW,
the
TW.
Heat he's got now when we were kids was heat. But, I mean, in today's context.
Right. You're right. But he's not, you
he's
know,
not 89.
He's not Mark Burley.
In fairness, that's true. I mean, he still touches 94, 95.
Looks a little like
94,
a right-handed Mark Burley, but he's not.
But he
Mark
throws
Burley.
94. Yeah, I mean, it's true. But
he's
it's
got
like,
TW.
His 94 is what Burley's 89 was back in the day. You know
Hawk
I mean?
Would love Lance Lynn.
My God.
Calling Lance Lynn games. Hawk, that would be heaven.
You tell me about it. I mean, he's got to be in heaven watching it now, and he's probably calling Jerry and being like, Jerry,
Tell Jason to take a weekend off when Lance Lynn's going to start. I'm going to come out and do one of his games.
I mean, you know Hawk wants to get in and be able to call a Lance Lynn game right
now.
TWTW, Cunning and Guile, TWTS, Lance Lynn, he's got it all. And that's how you do opening day, a complete game shutout.
That's
it was
right.
a thing of beauty. There was one mistake. The only thing that you went, Lance, what are you doing? He had a no-hitter through four innings, and he decided not to go cover first. I'm like, Lance, not for nothing, champ, but get off the mound and cover first.
Maybe it was for the best.
He's like, I'm not too worried about
not
it.
A small fella.
I've got this. Yeah. He looked at Abreu, and he's kind of like, he's pulling up his pants. He's like, what, you want me to go cover first?
Man, I forgot to run.
He's like, I'm good. I'll get the next guy. Don't worry.
That's one of those mistakes if they lose the game that you're pointing at and going, oh, boy, this team is just mentally, where are they mentally?
But maybe Lance Lynn knows himself better than you, Carm. He's not going to tire himself out while he's out on the mound.
He's not going to pull a hammy.
Don't exhaust yourself.
Full of hamstring injuries. What does he want to exert himself for?
I'm not kidding you guys. It's almost like that was his thought process. No hyperbole. I'm not just like I had great seats thanks to my friend Nate Brown yesterday. I mean, we were like ninth row just off a home plate. They were fabulous seats.
Nate Dogg.
And thanks to Nate Dogg Kaiser. And like I'm sitting there watching it. And now that you guys say that, it almost was like, I'm not running. I'm not covering first base.
A little tight. Tony, my hammy's a little tight. I didn't feel like doing it.
And I think he gave up a single to the next batter, but then he got out of the inning with nobody getting to third base anyway, if I remember. So he was basically like, don't worry. I'll get us out of the inning.
Don't care.
He's like, I'm not going to. I'm
He knew what he was doing. I'll tell you what. We should, and I know this is maybe a little knee-deep in baseball analysts or writers. We need to put Michael Bauman on it.
We totally do.
Because, some people may not be as familiar.
Explain, Miller.
Michael Bauman is the baseball writer for The Ringer. And so I know The Ringer is a newish site. So some
Bill
people,
Simmons. People who like some, Bill Simmons. Yeah.
Bauman's favorite player is Lance Lynn.
No joke.
I swear to God, he loves Lance Lynn. So at some point in the season, we need to, if Lance Lynn continues to dominate, put Bauman on. And just to wax poetic about Lynn.
I'm totally up for that. And again, it's maybe a little bit of a deep dive, but I think it's a good idea. Like, Lance Lynn is sort of like his Chad Bradford, to Billy Bean and Paul D. Podesta back in the game. And they're like, there's this island of misfit toys that nobody respects, and we're going to go get them. And Chad Bradford's defect is that he looks funny when he throws, but we're going to sign him for $120,000. He's going to dominate out of the bullpen for us. He's been writing and talking and tweeting about Lance Lynn for a couple of years now.
Right.
He sent a tweet out during the Anaheim series when he started against the Angels. Meller, what was it? Because you pointed it out to me.
I know, I was just thinking. It made me laugh hilariously.
And for the baseball geeks that understand his love for Lance Lynn,
grab it.
He sent out a hilariously sarcastic tweet about Lynn facing Mike Trout. It was so great. You're calling me like,
I think it was something like, I just saw the best player in baseball Strike out Mike Trout.
That's what it was, Yerk. So Lance Lynn punches out Trout, and he goes, it's so great to watch the best player in baseball strike out Mike Trout. So we should get him on at some point. But Lance Lynn, tip of the cap. I'm not worried about the 111 pitches. I saw some of that on social media last night. He's a different cat.
He's a horse.
I mean, he just is.
I mean,
he's a different cat.
He's a Clydesdale, Carm.
Lance Lynn.
He's meant to work.
Like, we know, the last 2 years in Texas, Lance Lynn finished in the top six in both years in Cy Young voting, right? So he's been one of the American League's better pitchers.
Right.
Last year, it was the truncated season, but Lance Lynn made 13 starts, Yerk. He threw at least 102 pitches in every single one of them. He threw 111 or more, which is the number he hit last night, in three of those. His ERA in the three games following those outings, Yurko, 1.80. He went 3-0 with a 1.80 ERA in the three subsequent starts. In 33 starts in 19, he threw at least 100 pitches in 31 of those 33 starts. He's kind of a different cat. I'm not worried about it. I'm really not that it's his second start and he's throwing 111. You get up to 120, maybe you go, Tony, what do you, Tony was probably thinking, hey, let's make this quick and get it out of here quick so, he doesn't have to expel and expend any more energy. Mm-hmm. But, I'm not,
No biggie. He's just a different animal. I think you're right. He can handle it. He's a bear.
A great acquisition. Yeah. He's your third pitcher. He's a stud. He gave you 9 innings of work. Everybody got a day off in the pen. Yep. Congratulations to them.
And a day off today, because they're off.
I'd like to sit and talk about my guy on the north side.
Yeah, Jake has been equally as...
Well, not as good as Lance Lynn
but he's been good,
effective. He started twice. He's 2-0 on his way to the All-Star game. I'm not shocked.
On his way to the All-Star game. If I were going to be a smart-ass White Sox fan,
yeah.
I'd say he's faced the Royals twice.
Pirates.
He's faced the Pirates twice.
Yeah.
But I won't do that, Yurko. I'll refrain from doing that.
To be listening to some radio over the weekend, and the radio over the weekend was national radio. On ESPN, and a Philadelphia Phillies fan upset at the fact that Arrieta comes to the Cubs and had the good first outing. He's upset already. Yeah, and Arrieta, he goes back to the Cubs, and all of a sudden he looks like the Jake Arrieta old. So I'm laughing. Listen, I don't know if it's going to last.
That's funny.
I'm a big fan of Arrieta. Always
have been.
Of course
you are. And you should be.
Hated when he left. It bothered me. It chapped my ass. And in essence, he was the first guy that they did business the way they're doing business with Rizzo. Right? Isn't he the first guy? Take this deal. If you don't take this deal, we're going to offer it to somebody else. They offered it to somebody else. He ended up going
somewhere. Yeah, like you're a little older. This is the deal. You know, we can move on without you.
So he was the first guy that really was victimized by the way they want to do business up on the north side. So life goes on. He's back at a minuscule rate, coming back to make contributions to the Chicago Cubs.
What are you and...
I'm a Cub fan.
No, thank you.
Oh, okay.
You're a human.
Yes.
What are you and most Cub fans...
I'm a homo sapien.
Or a homo sapien more excited about right now? Arrieta or KB?
I'm excited that they had 11 hits yesterday. I don't think KB is going to be a part of this thing as we move forward. So I'm excited that KB is hitting the ball. I'm excited that maybe some of his value is coming back. And then I'm going to be excited for them to turn KB into a bunch of, hopefully, stud minor leaguers that will come up into the big leagues so this rebuild can start.
Yeah, I'd like to poll or gauge Cub fans on that a little bit today. Like, Yurko's love for Arrieta is warranted. There shouldn't be a Cub fan out there that doesn't love Jake Arrieta, crying out loud. I mean, I don't know why. I don't know what the reason would be.
What a horse.
You know, like, I'm not a Cub fan and I like Jake Arrieta.
13 more wins.
Now, I think the Cubs did the right thing by not signing him. I think getting him back now is better for them, and it's cheap. You know, like, it's just, he's in a different place. It's not the big contract. Like,
right, of course.
I thought from a business decision, they did the right thing, but I like Jake Arrieta, for crying out loud. I don't know how you can't.
I like him.
But what's more encouraging, I guess, or what are you more juiced up about if you're a Cub fan? KB getting off to a good start, or Arrieta looking good, pitching six innings in both starts?
I love his green corduroys. Remember the time he wore those green corduroys?
Dude, the guy
He single-handedly was going to take the corduroy industry and bring it back to style.
The guy showed up to Chicago Cut the day before the Cubs played the wild card game in Pittsburgh. He was pitching. He was like, you know, he was Bob Gibson that year. We know that.
Yes.
He does an event with us at Chicago Cut. The guy showed up in green, like capri corduroys with a flannel shirt on. And what are you going to do? Say something to him about it? No, because he was going to win the Cy Young Award. And actually, did he win the Cy Young Award that year? Or was it the it was that year where the 15 year was really spectacular. And, you know, he's built like a Mack truck. And you're like, okay, Jake's wearing green capri corduroys and a flannel. Like, you do whatever you want, man. I think that's why Joe Madden was like, hey, do you. Be sexy however you think you're sexy. You know, like, nobody's messing with Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
What are you more excited about, Cub fans? 312-332-3776. And I want to tell you what it was like to finally be back at a professional sporting event yesterday. I was on the South Side. I'll give you some of the play-by-play of what that was like when we come back next.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko?
You don't have to miss anything.
Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah, it's Friday. We're getting set for the weekend. Masters weekend. Looking forward to that. The course is playing very difficult. People knew that probably yesterday, and I don't think much has changed today. Justin Rose is really having a tough day.
The wheels have fallen off for Justin Rose.
Yeah. Has he lost the lead? Is
he's minus four. Weisberger's sitting at minus three.
Okay.
The guy that's making up the most ground is Hideki Matsuyama by just not playing. He and Brian
and my guy Patrick Reed
are not playing. I mean, Leishman birdied 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, but then came back.
No, he's still sitting there at minus three. But he birdied 1, 2, and 3, and now he's going through, you know, the rest of this round trying to find some more birdies. But that's where he sits. Scheffler is even par. He had bogeyed five just now. He had gotten the red numbers and gave it back.
Wow. All right, so it should be a fun weekend.
Spieth's only two off the lead. He birdied two. So
Spieth is out on the course. Yep. Patrick Reed plays a little bit later. I know he's two back. If the leaders are now four under, that means he's two back because he shot. What they play that at a par 71, right? No, par 72. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right, because there's two and two. They played that at a 42, so he shot 70 yesterday. My bet of someone shooting four rounds in the 60s doesn't look good because only a couple of guys did it. Three guys, I think, yesterday did it.
Right. Harmon did it. Matsuyama did it. And Justin Rose did it. And guess what? Justin Rose is not going to do
today. He's not going to shoot 60 today.
He's not shooting 60 today.
I mean, Matsuyama, maybe. He might be the guy that could do it.
He might be the guy. You got to take a look at it.
So I was at the Sox game yesterday. It was great to be there, even with the rain delay. You know, once the rain did stop and they were able to start playing, it rained briefly. Bottom of the first into the second inning, it came down for about 10 minutes maybe again, and that was it. And then after that, the sun actually was trying to peek through the clouds as it was setting almost at that point because it was late in the day. But it really was fun. I mean, that's the first sporting event I've been to, obviously, in well over a year. They have, you know, like Brooks Boyer was telling us yesterday, you're kind of confined to your zone, and they have employees, you know, checking as you move from spot to spot along the concourse.
Right.
But it was fun to see other Sox fans and talk a little bit. The seats are definitely spaced out in distance. Right. And there's no, you know, go find an open seat. They have, Yurko, all of the seats that do not have a ticket for that game sold.
Right.
They've got like industrial zip ties, cable ties, you know. So you can't, I mean,
right, you can't sit no matter what.
You can't sit in those seats. I mean, you are definitely spaced out and distanced. I will say that I could, if I had one criticism, it'd be I could do without the piped in crowd noise, but I guess I get it there. I think they're going for the effect on the TV broadcasts. The stadiums have been pumping in the noise. And I guess even with some fans back in the stadiums, they were definitely pumping noise through the speakers. Behind the one at the back of the 100 level, you could hear it clear as day.
Was it awful? Was it a pain in the butt?
No, I guess I could have done without it. I mean, right. We were trying to make as much noise as we could anyway. Sylvie texted me at one point. He goes, "Man, it sounds loud." And I said, "Dude, there's crowd noise." And he goes, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah." Now, we were being loud. The 8,000 of us that were there were up on our feet and clapping.
Like the Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings always pumped in crowd noise, even when they had 70,000 there.
Mike North always says that. There's no doubt they were doing
it. Yeah, I was right behind
it. Yurko played.
They said, "Oh, well, you know, we're pumping it back out. The volume's going back out to the fan." No, it's not. Yeah. It's right next to us. Yeah. It made communicating an absolute terror. Yeah. They did it intentionally. They knew what they were doing.
Right. Yeah, so they were pumping in a little crowd noise. I don't know how long that's going to last, maybe until they feel like they can get more and more people inside the park. But it was great to be there. And the one, like, my biggest takeaway is I don't know if the employees and the people that are part of, you know, the stadium ops and you know, the servers and the, you know, everybody that is there working at the park, I don't know if they were instructed to do this by the White Sox, or if it was just, I don't think they were. My guess is it was just a genuine appreciation that they had to be back at work and to see people in that park. Because I'm not joking, every employee in that park, especially on the way out, kind of went out of their way to say, "Thanks for being here." Yep. And it's really good. Like, I'm telling you, everyone, Yurko.
Yeah. More people want to be there.
Of course.
Yeah.
And that's their livelihood. Like, these are the people that are working. Like Sylvie's wife, Allie. I mean, like, someone who works in the suites at these venues. Like, the genuine appreciation that I felt like those people had, that I think they were like, "This is great to see people here, and we can come out and do our job and our paycheck, and we can see you at the ballpark." It was fabulous.
This is between me and you, and I'm not asking you to be a scientist or anything crazy. You saw what the ballpark looked like.
Yes.
And you're usually, you know, conservative in nature when it came to this whole thing, this whole pandemic. Yeah. What do you think that could safely hold without people being into
Good
each
question,
other at that
York.
Point? 8,200, I think, is too low of a number. What do you think at this point, where should we be?
That's a good question.
That's why I asked it.
I mean, there weren't really many people around us. Would I have been comfortable if people were sitting in the front row, in a row in front of me? I'm maybe not the best, just me personally.
That's
I wouldn't
I
have had a problem
you.
With it.
I
would have been okay.
You.
I would have been okay. Yeah. I would not have felt
so
like...
So what number do you think would be a safe number now, according to you, what you feel?
I think they should be allowed to put... Okay, so half would be what? Maybe half
would
too
be 20.
Much.
20. Half would be 20.
40 would be about 16. What if I gave you about 35 to 40%? Like 16,000 people, give or take?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Like, I don't think that would have been overwhelming. I really don't.
I remember when they used to announce 22,000, and it looked like there was plenty of spacing going on there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the easy joke, I know. Go ahead, pile on.
I'm not going to pile on. I'm just saying, I'm trying to find a safe number, but you have a number where a lot of White Sox fans can still enjoy the game live. Yeah.
And because you know more of them want to go. You know that those employees are going to appreciate it more and more. You know the ownership wants it more and more. I mean, I never at any point felt like, oh, this is good. Now, I'm halfway home to being vaccinated. I got my first shot. You know, I mean, so I wasn't uncomfortable at all. And had a couple of fans been sitting in front of me, I would not have felt uncomfortable. Me and my buddy Nate were on one end of an aisle, and there were four vacant seats, and there were two buddies sitting on the far end of our aisle. And the next closest person were, I think, about like three rows in front of us. We did some fist bumping on the two home runs in the first inning. I'm not going to lie. You know, we kind of reached across and did some fist bump. I mean, Mercedes did to that ball was spectacular. And I had a good view of that. I mean, both of them, really, they were both no doubters. But when he hit it, we all went, oh, my God.
Is he using an aluminium bat?
I don't know.
That ball flew.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, we all went, ooh. I mean, like, it was that kind of sound. It was a violent swing, and it made that sound, and it was destroyed, obviously, at like 111 miles an hour and 485 feet. If you were there and you want to tell us about your experience, please let us know. 312-332-3776. Do you agree with my assessment of being at the game and being in the stadium? For most of us, it was probably our first event like that in a long, long time. Maybe you were on the north side. I mean, Cub fans obviously got to experience it last week, but for the south side fans, that was our first taste of that. So let us know. 312-332-ESPN, talking Cubs and Sox. We'll be right back. This hour of the show is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We had all four teams in action yesterday. We got the Bulls in action tonight. Cubs are off in Pittsburgh. White Sox are off. They'll play tomorrow. Let's go to Kevin on the south side. What up, Kev?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Great, Kevin.
Life is beautiful, baby. I had a great time yesterday. I enjoyed the game. I think the only problem I had was at the concession stand. You know how you had to stay in your section?
Yeah.
So I was in the orange section, and we were at the Beggar's Pizza stand, and people are trying to put stuff on the mobile app. Right on the other side of the fence at the Loaded Fries, there's two people in line. There's 30 people where I'm in line. And I'm like, hey, can we get some Loaded Fries? She's like, no, that's not in your section. You can't go over there.
Yeah, that sucks.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
That does kind of suck. Oh, yeah, we got to yell at Kevin. He's our first caller.
That's right.
Kev, that does kind of suck. And that's just, I think, unfortunately, that's the way it's probably going to be right now.
That means not everybody can get a wiener at the park.
That sucks.
I mean, if I go to a park and I can't get a wiener, put me in a wiener section.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks, man. Yeah, we have to start every show by telling our first caller he doesn't know baseball.
Smothered in underwear.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball. Where is that drop, Meller? Is it like permanently on
my
screen?
It's in the right-hand corner there.
I got you.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
It's still the best. It's not going to get better than that all season, is it?
That's right.
That was like opening day last week. I mean, it will not get better than that. The rant in Cleveland.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Kevin, thanks for checking in. Tyler's in Hanover Park on ESPN 1000. What up, Tyler?
Hey, guys. What's going on? First-time caller. Love the show.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
I was at the game yesterday up in the 500 level. Had an amazing time. Love to pay for a $12 beer again.
A $12 beer.
It did. But the only thing that sucked is they didn't have the stand with the hot dog and onions open up there.
Oh, see, that's... Yeah, and I think a lot of it is just like part of a slow rollout. I don't know what it is.
Well, you only got 8,000 fans.
That's it. And so I think that's part of it.
You got to try to figure out how much you need to cook without wasting stuff.
They did have concessions open for you guys. They just didn't have the hot dog, the grilled hot dogs?
Yeah, not the grill. They did have the Comiskey dog stand up there, which was which was great. But yeah, you could have definitely fit more people comfortably in that stadium, looking up from the down from the 500.
I think you're right, Tyler. And hopefully, within the next 6 weeks, 2 months, like that's going to be the case. But and I can imagine that, like Yurko said, just from a cost standpoint, they probably can't. Doesn't make sense to open up everything that they'd like to open up. So if you're in the 500 level, you couldn't get one of those classic grilled dogs with the onions, which is a fabulous treat.
A Waddle favorite.
A Waddle special. Well, his is smothered in underwear. But
yeah, well, you know, that's because he's special.
It is. It's the best dog in the bigs. I mean, I haven't been to every park, but man. And congrats to Roger Bossert. 55 years.
Good for him.
I mean, 55 years.
55 years.
His 55th season. I heard Connor.
I've never seen a man who loves to spray down an infield like he does.
When I left the points bet book from where we did the show in Crestwood yesterday at the Club Hawthorne OTB, and I was driving to the park, and I'm listening to Connor's pregame. Did Connor say Roger? You know, his family's got the patent on that field.
Yeah, the way they
like that sub-air system, whatever it is, like that drainage system. Rogers put that in soccer fields in Europe.
Oh yeah,
and
everywhere,
in the Middle East. I mean, like
I think Stamford Bridge.
I mean, like everywhere. So you know, like, but I think Connor said he's put in 19 of the 20 ballparks in the bigs. You know, some parks don't need it. The dome buildings don't need it. But I think Connor said 19 of the 30 parks. His family, like his system, is in those parks. That's incredible. Two thirds of the parks in baseball. I mean, that's really fascinating. And congrats on 55 amazing years. For all it rained, that field, I mean, that outfield, you barely see any water. I don't know how the heck he does it. You know, it's truly incredible.
That's why it's patented.
That's why it's patented. That's why he's a gazillionaire.
That's right.
Because of it. I mean, you know.
Yeah. That's why he looked at the gold rake and he said, really? You know how many of these I've got? I've got 10, 12 of these already.
He saw La Russa give him a golden rake. And he's like, I've got a real golden rake at home. I don't know what you want me to do with this. I mean, I've got one made of 14-karat gold.
How about a golden shovel? Guys, I use a shovel as much as I use a rake. What the hell's going on here?
Roger is something, man. He's a treasure, I tell you. Tracy's in Naperville. What's up, Tracy?
Hello, guys.
How are you, man?
I'm doing great. I call a bust the bubble of the White Sox fans because, you know, they got a good team. Don't get me wrong. But until you get a center fielder that doesn't have to play all three spots out there, and the other guy, Spider-Man, in the nets.
Wow. He's hurt now anyway, so.
Well, that might be a good thing right now. I mean, no, don't wish nothing on him, but, you know, so somebody know how to work the outfield like they should.
Yeah,
my point is that the White Sox will not win a World Series in the next 3 years.
Shame on you.
And your Kopech, I believe that's his name, he will not be a 20-game winner in the same 3 years.
Mm. Well, 20-game winners are rare in baseball these days. Tracy, thanks, but I have just one thing to say to you.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
And, of course, we're messing
That's
with you,
That's what we tell everyone who calls in about baseball.
We're messing with you, Tracy.
Yeah, we're having fun.
No, come on. They'll win. I hope they win a World Series in the next 3 years. That's a tough thing to predict. I mean, but I think they'll be in contention for one. I definitely do.
Well, the Cubs went to 3 straight NLCSs.
Yeah.
So when people ask me, was it a success? Was it? Yeah, because you were competing for it. For 3 straight years, you were competing for a chance to get to the World Series. It's pretty good. And you went to the playoffs in 2 other years.
That's correct.
I'm not crying about that. You wanted to compete. It's the first time the Cubs had gone to back-to-back-to-back. Hey, I'm fine with it. You made your stab. It ended a little bit more prematurely than I thought it would, but life goes on.
Just think about how amazing those Atlanta Braves run was.
Oh,
they only won one World Series, but every year, Phil. And now, back then, there wasn't as many rounds. Right? It was only...
Well, no, they were... They probably lined up... Well, there wasn't a wild card.
Right.
There was a divisional round, an LCS, and then it was a World Series.
Right, but I mean...
There wasn't a wild card game, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, they were there every single year.
What was it, 13 in a row? Didn't they win 13 straight divisions?
Yeah, incredible.
And they're good again now, too. I mean, they really haven't had many lean years or many big droughts. When you look at their... Go look at their ledger since 1990... I mean, how many times, Mellor, do you think the Braves have missed the playoffs? 5, 6? I mean, I bet you it's not much more than that, guys. It's just been a consistently good organization. You'd like our teams to get to be at that point, you know? Like, what are they putting in the water? Let's go. Come on. Like Cap would say, it's go time.
I mean, the Cubs recently have been
Cubs recently have been very good. But, I mean, the kind of run that they had.
As I just laid out.
So, they missed. It's a little bit more.
Is it more? Okay.
There's 9 seasons.
Oh, wow. I didn't.
Between 10.
I wouldn't
10.
Remember. Okay.
So, from 91 through 2020. So, that's what, 30 years?
30 seasons,
30
right?
30 seasons. they missed the playoffs 10 times. So two-thirds of the time.
Two-thirds of the time.
Over a 30-year period.
That's incredible, right?
They were in the playoffs.
Think about that. And geez, I mean, my beloved White Sox, in my lifetime, you got 83, you got 93, you got 2000, you got 5, 8, and last year. That's 6. I'm 44, guys. That's 6 times. I mean, it's like, you know, it is incredible. The Dodgers have won their division 8 straight years. And I don't know that the Padres are going to be able to catch them this year. I mean, I would think that the Dodgers are going to win that division for a 9th straight year. You could probably book that one. If you want to take a knee on something early, Merck, take a knee on that. I would, especially with Tatis hurt now.
Yeah, the Dodgers are so deep up
They're so deep
everywhere in their lineup. Like, I mean, they have a rotation. They give, like, Will Smith, who's one of the best hitting catchers in baseball, they give him a day off every other day, basically. Gavin Lux has a hard time cracking
the lineup
as a regular.
It's amazing. Like, they're going to win that division for a 9th straight year.
They've got a 6-man rotation as long as Trevor Bauer doesn't get suspended for doctoring baseballs, apparently.
Right. It is remarkable. 312-332-3776. That's the phone number if you want to join us. Hit us up on Twitter. Yurko is at Yurko64. That's Yurko with a J. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Don't miss Mike North's bonus play in about 45 minutes. I mean, Mike just left and right is giving out winners. We keep telling you that each and every Friday at 11:45. And then we'll have a full hour of the odds couple later tonight, too. But we'll talk more baseball if you want to join us. What's got Cub fans more encouraged, Arrieta start or Bryant start? And share some thoughts with us if you're a Southside fan and you were in the ballpark yesterday. 312-332-ESPN is the number. We'll be back in 2 minutes.